You know, that's an amazing reading that Bob did for us today. We recognize that as being the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving us really the gospel in a nutshell here. But I want to look at Luke, the sixth chapter, and I'd like to look at some of the things that Luke includes in his telling of the record of the sermon that aren't included in what we've already read. In Luke 6, beginning at verse 24, there's a prologue to this statement about building a house on a rock. He says, "Woe to you that are rich. You've received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for in the same manner did their fathers to the prophets." I suppose that living in 21st century America, and being as blessed as we are with so much abundance, that it's pretty easy for us to become not necessarily careless, but to become not painfully aware of the need to recognize that into each life, some hardship is going to come. We think we can escape it. We have so much. We rely on so many things. But you have to know, not to be a downer, but you have to know that there will come a time when you will be tested. And the life that you've built for yourself will be exposed. And our hope is that we can build a life that will be worthy of all of the effort that we've put into it. Luke, the sixth chapter, Luke records again the story of the wise man and the house that he built. He says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone that cometh to me and heareth my words and doeth them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man who built his house, who digged and went deep and laid a foundation on the rock. When a flood arose, a stream broke against that house. Could not shake it because it had been well builded. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream broke, and straightway it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." I can't imagine that people would ever build without a foundation, but that's what Jesus says. This is a picture of Mont St. Michael. I understand that this is a very famous, iconic picture. It's just off the coast of France. It's an island, and you could go there at low tide before they built that road that goes out to it now. You could go there at low tide, but at high tide, you couldn't get there. It's one of those places on the earth where tidal fluctuations are extreme. Kind of like Alaska. You know, if you were to anchor a boat out in Knik Arm or Turnagain Arm, and the tide came in, that tidal variation is over 30 feet. It'd sink your boat. you're tied to the bottom and the water just keeps coming up. People don't boat on those two arms very often. But this is a wonderful foundation out there. It was almost indefensible, almost insurmountable, excuse me. When the tide came in, if you were attacking that abbey and that structure, you could very well drown. You just couldn't get there. It withstood the Hundred Years' War. Now, that's back when they took time and built great earthworks and breached these walls like this. It was able to withstand a full attack by the English in 1433. That's a house that's built on a solid foundation. So I want to think about that, and I want to think about it in terms of an enduring foundation for the life that we want to build. Remember, we read from Luke, the sixth chapter, a man built a house, he went deep, he laid a foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. When Jesus was describing all of these events, they didn't think about Mount St. Michael. They probably thought about what it's like to live out in the desert. And Rod and Sherry were describing what it's like to live out in the desert. And there's a lot of things that you just don't think about. When the rains come, it just roars and it sweeps everything away. When those people heard about that, that's probably what they were thinking about. You really have to be careful when you're building out in the desert. And we know stress is going to come in every life. Could be persecution. That's happening in some parts of the world. It could be our own sickness. It could even be the time of our own death. Who among us hasn't undergone some kind of sickness? Some of us have to deal with more sickness than others, but every one of us realizes that we're going to die. Build a life that can weather the storm. That's important. It's a life that we're building, of course, in heaven, but it's a life that we live now. And if you don't build well when things are not going well, your life will fall apart. Now, I know that part of this is the foundation. I know that we have to build on the foundation of Christ. And we've talked about that a lot. And I want to stress that we have to build this life that can withstand whatever happens to us because it's built on Jesus. Don't build your house on a foundation of lies. Do people do that? Sure. It's the young man who's dating a girl, but the girl is abusive. And he thinks, I'll marry her and she'll change. Don't build that life. It's a young lady who's dating a young man who is abusive to her. Don't build that life. That's just a foundation of lies. It's a man that commits heinous crimes. And he's put into prison and he says, oh yes, I've changed. And how many of us are familiar with the recidivism rates in this country? 80% of the people that go to prison recommit a crime after they're released. That's not to say that they can't change, but it is to say that you need to rely on what they tell you with a certain grain of salt. Don't build your life on a foundation of lies. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the Apostle Paul addresses this very idea. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Another built thereon. Let each man take heed how he builds on it. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man buildeth on this foundation, gold or silver, costly stones, even wood, hay, or stubble, each man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it is revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, which he's built thereon, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. I think what he's trying to suggest is, if you build your house on a good foundation, even if the house is destroyed, you have a life with God in heaven. You'll be saved. But I tried to think about why people would build a house on lies. Why would you use that foundation? Well, I think 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, may explain part of this. The time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and they'll turn their ears from the truth and turn to fables. Sometimes we just don't want to listen. So we stop exposing ourselves to people who will tell us what's true. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 through 12, he begins saying, There shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught the manifestation of his coming, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in them that perish. That's an interesting word. Some people perish. Some people live. Some people perish. He says the reason is they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God sends them a working of error that they should believe a lie. And then there is this pithy description of them that they might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why do we build a house on a flimsy foundation that just won't hold up? Sometimes it's because we don't like that foundation that'll hold together. We like a foundation that lets us build a house where we engage in sinful activities. The Jesus Foundation won't let you do that. And sometimes we build on a lousy foundation because we take pleasure in unrighteousness. And we just don't want to change. That's what it amounts to. We like where we are. We don't want to change. But I want to suggest to you that there's something else. More than just the foundation that you build on, it's the people who build well, who do what they hear from Jesus. Strikingly, in Matthew, the 7th chapter, both the wise and the foolish man heard the sayings of Jesus. They both were exposed to the real good foundation. The difference was one did something with it, the other one didn't. Let's read together from 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning at verse 4. He's talking to Christians and he says, Jesus is coming, unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect, precious. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because it is contained in Scripture, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. You therefore that believe, find him precious. But for such as disbelieve, the stone that the builders rejected, the stone, the same was made the head of the corner. It's a stone of stumbling to them. It's a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word of being disobedient. It's not just having the doctrine right. It's using it. It's doing the work that God designed for us to do. That's what makes a life that will sustain us. James, the second chapter, James stresses the same idea. He says, what doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say to him, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and you give him not the things needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead in itself. We need to work the works that God gave us to do. That's how you build a strong house. You need the right foundation, but you need the work as well. Well, in just a minute, Ron's going to lead us in another song. Prepare to meet thy God. Stresses the idea that one day we will stand before God, but I'm telling you, as important as that day is, I want a life that will sustain me here. And I think you do too.